Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing that was. What a blessing it has been just being in the house of the Lord. We pray all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge, and not only for our church family, but for anyone who would come through the doors of this church. And so I trust that you have sensed the presence of God in this place already this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 17. Psalms chapter 17. This is a psalm of David, and this would actually be a prayer of David's. And we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 8. So Psalm chapter 17, if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Psalms chapter 17 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, as we bow before you, we just want to thank you, Father, for what you have provided for us already today, the opportunity to be in church. And God, just helping each one to make the right decisions to come this morning. And now, Father, as we have assembled here, we have assembled in thy name, and we know that you are here in the midst with us. God, you know exactly what each one here has need to hear. I just pray that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again, but that you would take the words and that you would apply them to each one as they have need to have them applied. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. What God had led David to write as a prayer in Psalms chapter 17 is something that I believe that all God's children need to know to be able to live the life that God wants you to live. In verse 8, we find here that the psalmist David said, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, and hide me under the shadow of thy wings." The message I want to preach to you this morning, if you would, if you want to put a title to it, would just be "Protected by God." Protected by God. Many businesses, houses, and even cars have security systems. And even the church here, because of the day and age that we live in, and knowing that Satan is still the prince of the power of the air, and there's a lot of evil that has taken place in the society that we live in, I believe God gives us wisdom that we need to use to be able to protect our valuables, and even the church anymore. And it's a sad thing when the church has to put an alarm system on to keep thieves out, and yet over the 31-year history of the church, we have had to do that because there have been thieves that have come and no concern for God or the things of God and stolen different things. So we've had a security system. And you'll notice it around. If you look at any of the doors, you'll find the signs out there protected by CSE security. And there might be stickers on there. If you have Many times, your business, you'll look up and they want to post it. They want people to know, they want thieves and robbers to know that there's cameras and there's video cameras. Everything that you do has been recorded. There is security at this place. And hopefully that will deter thieves from stealing or breaking in and robbing those particular places of businesses or churches or houses or cars or whatever it may be. I know that in our homes, I think something that everyone needs to feel secure in is when you go home at night, when you go to bed at night. You need to be able to pillow your head and have a peace of mind concerning security. And that's why we have locks on the doors and, you know, most people anymore. There was a time and a place I used to live anyway that no one had to worry about locking their doors. That's not, that day and age is gone. We all, I think, realize that we have to use wisdom and we lock our doors. And many will put security alarms on their houses because I want to be able to sleep with a peace of mind. I know as we was raising the girls and the house that we live in now, we've lived there for 17 years. And when we purchased it, it had an alarm system, and the first and only alarm system I've ever had in a house. But they'd give you a little peace. So when I would go down there, and I would always hit the alarm and then go to bed. I know that the doors would not open, the windows would not open. No one could get in, and with teenagers, no one could get out without me knowing it. And that was a peace of mind. I would be able to go up and realize if a door was open, the alarm's going to go off because I set it ahead of time, and I'll deal with whatever. You know, I love the sticker that is protected by Smith & Wesson. You know? And I think that that's a deterrent to crimes. It's a deterrent to thieves, knowing if you break into this house, you might not leave this house. Amen alive. And you're entering at your own risk if you're going to break in and that type of thing. So we have these type of security systems. And yet we look here in David, and as he writes, I believe that that's how God would have his children to live. This is something that David has been led by the Holy Spirit of God to write. And he's put it down in pen and ink so that God's preserved it so we can read it. And understand, part of David's prayer was that God had dealt with him and all the things that he's praying about, and he knows that he's living right. He knows he's living within the will of God. And because he is doing what God would have him do and living as God would have him to live, then he says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye and hide me under the shadow of thy wings." God wants us to have this peace as we go through life. The peace of knowing that we are protected by God. He gives two illustrations in this one verse here. The first is, keep me as the apple of the eye. Keep, or if you will, kept as the apple of the eye is kept. The apple of the eye would be the eyeball. Okay? As we understand God's design, there's no part of the human body that is more precious. Now, there's some that's as precious, but not any more precious than our sight. The eye is what we have to be able to have sight and then respond in life, how you live. You will live, and you, first of all, the first thing you do is you see, and whatever your eye is seeing, whatever it is sending signals to your brain. It's telling you if this is good, bad, or whatever, views, colors, everything else. And of course, those that might be born without sight, and it's just a sad thing, but yet I know God can bless them and they can make it through life, but it's one of the most precious things that we have. In God's design, this idea of the eye, and it's a miracle how it works, amen? And but as God designed it, he designed it with protection. God has designed the body to protect and keep the eyeball safe. Now, if you stop and think about it, and David understood this, and that's why he says, in me, keep me. And he wrote this down for us to realize this is what God can do. Keep me as the same way that you have protected and designed the human body to protect the eyeball, which is a very precious part of the human body. Lord, I want you to, my prayer is that you keep me as safe as you have designed to keep the apple or the of the eye or the eyeball safe. We stop and think about that. God has given us, he placed the eyes in the front of our heads, and he placed the eye in a place where the head is controlled by the neck. And if something is ever coming, and all of us experience this, if something is coming at you and it's going to hit you in the eye, automatically, you know, your neck is going to respond and your neck is going to turn. And what else? He's given you an ability through your hand to reach up and to block whatever's coming at you. That's a design. That was not evolution. That was God saying, as I design the human body, I know that the sight is very precious, and so I'm going to design a protection for the apple of the eye or the eyeball. And first of all, it's where he placed it on the human body, and the neck can turn it away to protect, and we have hands, arms, and hands to reach up and block whatever might be coming at the eye. That's a protection of whatever might come your way. As long as you have a neck that moves and you have an arm that reaches, you can reach it. Now, if your eye was in the back, the center of your back, that would be a hard thing. You're trying to protect. So glad that, and that's, if evolution, there had to be a time when that would have happened, amen? But yet God says, no, I designed the body, and one of the precious things that I'm designing for your human body is your sight, and so I'm going to set it up and design a way for the eyeball, which is the most precious thing in your sight, to be protected. So I'm going to give you a neck to be able to turn away. I'm going to give you a hand and an arm to be able to reach up and to block it. I'm going to give you an eye socket for the eye to fit into. I'm sure glad that my eyeball is not protruding out of my forehead. Amen. It wouldn't have much protection if it was protruding from my forehead. But God says, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an eye socket, and I'm going to have strong protruding bones, amen, that's going to protect the eyeball. Something comes at you, if your neck doesn't respond fast enough, your hand doesn't respond fast enough, when it hits, sure glad that I have a strong bone right there that's going to protect my eyeball. Now, I might get a big black eye and I might be bruised, but the eyeball is going to survive. I may have a baseball hit you in the eye. Yeah, several of us, no doubt. And you might, maybe you got punched in the eye. How many? I don't want to know that. But as you got punched or whatever happened, because of God's design in protecting the most important part of the eye, the eyeball, the apple of the eye, then you might just got bruised under here, and your forehead might got bruised, but the eye is protected. Designed that way. David understood that. Designed that way. Not only that, but the eye has eyelids, automatic doors. Are we glad that God designed it to not only does it have strong bones around, it has an eye socket, but right on the eye as well, you have eyelids that will shut. Amen. And they'll open, and they'll shut, and they'll open. And when the rain's coming down, you need it to kind of shut and open and shut. You can still see, but it's protecting your eye. And not only does he give us the protection of eyelids, but he gives us protection of eyelashes. The eyelashes work as strainers to keep the bugs out, the gnats out. Amen? No, I know that you ladies think it was just for design for looks. Amen? No. It was designed for protection. Amen? God designed it in a way that it would protect, and it's protecting the apple of the eye, the eyeball, so that you will not lose your sight. So as the eyeball, keep me as the very same way that you have designed to protect my sight, O God. David here understands that he was created by God. God had a design for his body and everything about it. And so he says, keep me as you have the apple of the eye. So as the eyeball, we are kept safe by God. What a blessing it is to live knowing that I'm protected by God. What a blessing it is to know if you're a born-again believer, if you put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ and you've received Him as your personal Lord and Savior, you are kept safe. Not only are you kept safe, you're kept saved. Amen. That is one of the blessings that God wants you to know, a blessing that is beyond human understanding. Something that God says, I want you to have this peace that passes human understanding. Once you have received me, you're mine. And as my own child, I am your heavenly Father. And once you have received me as your Savior, you're saved. You have the peace of understanding. No matter what happens to you in this life, no matter what goes on, if you're saved, you have a home in heaven. If you're saved, when you die physically, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want you to live your life as a born-again individual, having this understanding that you're protected by God and you have a protection. Your salvation is protected. You are eternally secure. Whew, what a blessing. Yeah, John chapter 10. I want you to see, Jesus wanted the disciples to know that. Now, David writes the psalm. The psalmist David writes that, and he says, as the apple of the eye, I want you to keep me. Keep me protected. Keep me safe. And Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse 27, John chapter 10 and verse 20, and there's so much in the Bible that talks about eternal security, but verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He's a shepherd of the sheep. If you receive Jesus Christ and you become part of his flock, and I give unto them. You can't work for it. Amen. You ought to work after salvation, but you can't work for salvation. And I give unto them eternal life. Something's given to you. And they shall never. How long is never? Perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Satan, you cannot take away that which God has given to me. You cannot take away my eternal security. I can live my life in this world with the peace of knowing that no matter what might happen, the very worst thing in this world that could happen to me is I lose my life. If I lose my life, Paul says, for to me to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Just as the apple of the eye, David says, I know you designed it. I know that is protecting my sight, and you're keeping my sight protected. Just as you've done that to my eye, do it to me. Do it to my soul. Help me to live this life with this peace that passeth all understanding, knowing that if I was to die, knowing that no matter what happens to me in this life, I've got heaven to look forward to. Amen. No matter what you're struggling with this side of heaven, heaven holds a healing. No matter what kind of pain and suffering, no matter what kind of trials that you're going through, no matter what you're having to deal with in this life, in this world, heaven holds a healing for every born-again believer. Because you're going to have a glorified body like everyone else in heaven. Amen. You're going to be in the presence of an almighty God forever, for an eternity. You're going to have a mansion that he's working on right now, building it for you individually. God says, I want you to know that. When you're living and going through some of the struggles and the trials of this life, I want you to have this peace to know you're protected by God. You have everlasting life. I also want you to know something else. You are kept in his love. No matter what you do, God is going to continue to love you. I'll tell you what, we make some stupid decisions in this old physical body. Even Christians, yeah. We can be blinded, led astray, and make some pretty stupid decisions. What a blessing to know God will never stop loving you. His door is always open to you to return and come back to Him. Praise the Lord. As long as you have breath in your body, you have an opportunity to repent and get right with God. Romans chapter 8. God said, I want you to know this. I want you to live with this understanding that you're protected by me. Kept saved. Kept in His love in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? And the answer is no, tribulation will not do it. Distress? No, distress, no matter how stressful situation that you have to go through, it cannot and will not do it. Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able, you're protected, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. No matter what's happened, no matter what your past is, can I tell you that God loves you? And you can come back to Him, or you can come to Him. And when He forgives, it's like it never happened. Your sin is cast as far as the east is from the west. I'm sure glad He didn't say from north to the south. Amen. But He said east to the west. That means if you go east, you'll always go east. You'll never go back to the west. If you start going west, if you just continue, you'll always go west. It's there's no end to it. Those sins are cast away and forgiven. What a blessing. God says, I want you to understand that. I want you to know this. I want you to be able to live this life with this kind of peace of understanding my love for you. You'll never lose it. You'll never lose it. It's kept as the apple of the eye, protected. Kept from evil. Kept from evil. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. Let me just read it to you. Write these verses down if I go too fast for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says this. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. That means I'm more than conquerors through Christ. I can live a victorious Christian life if I continue to stay focused on my Savior. That means that as long as I'm focused on my Savior, then God's hand of protection is on me and He will deliver me from evil. Amen. So no matter what comes into my life, as long as I know that I'm living in the will of God, God's protecting me, whatever that God allows into my life, there's something good that can come out of it. There's a purpose for it. I can handle that. As long as I know that there is something good that will come out of suffering and pain, I can handle suffering and pain. Every lady that's ever given childbirth can testify to that. Amen. The suffering and pain, yeah, blame Adam for that. Amen. That's what brought in the pain of labor in delivering children. Sin, the sin nature. But you'll go through that and some time and time again. I don't understand that. But anyway. Knowing that at the end of that labor, what a blessing. A new life. A new life. Something good. But in order for that good to come into your life, there had to have been some pain. And every woman here says, I want my husband to experience that. Amen. Yeah, maybe then. No, I won't go there either. No, it's easier to have children if somebody else is having them, you know. If it was up to the men to have children, we would have a population problem here in the world. I guarantee you that. Kept from evil. As the apple of the eye, protected by God. And let me just help you to understand this as well. We will be kept from the tribulation period. Don't give in to all this mid-tribulation period. No. When you study your Bible, you will agree if it's what the Bible teaches on that. Revelation chapter 3, and let's look there real quick. Revelation chapter 3, there's going to be a tribulation time, a seven-year tribulation. But can I tell you something? The church will not experience any of it. Now, we're going to experience some tough times leading up to it, but when the tribulation starts, the church is raptured. We're gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. We will not have to go through even half of the tribulation period. God has designed it. And he says when the tribulation begins, actually the rapture of the church will actually begin the tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Talking about the tribulation right there, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. It's only those that are left that's going to be tried during the tribulation. The church is taken up. Church is gone. Praise the Lord for that. These are things that the Bible says that we are kept from. Almighty God, as the apple of the eye, kept saved, kept in his love, kept from evil, we kept from the tribulation period. But we're not done there. Go back with me. Because he uses two illustrations. And I love it because we need both of them. You can live your life as a born-again believer, know that you're protected by God. And as being protected by God, you're kept safe from all these things. But then he says in verse 8, Psalm 17, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me, a switch here, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Hid under the shadow of his wings. John chapter 17, I want you to see something here. John chapter 17, this is the actual prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It's not the model prayer. The model prayer gives you understanding of how to pray. But this is actually what Jesus prayed. In John chapter 17, I think it's important that you understand what he prayed concerning Christianity to the Father. But I want you to look at one verse here, chapter 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You see, God does not keep us from the trials of this life. If you looked at every one of the apostles, they went through tremendous trials before and after Christ. He will not keep us from the trials of life. We're going to have trials. But he will deliver us through them. How will he deliver us through them? By putting us under the shadow of his wings. He will strengthen and comfort as we have need. When we go through the valleys, we go through the trials, we can be comforted by the very presence of God in our lives. Under his wings, you'll feel the warmth of God. Under his wings, you'll hear his heartbeat. Yeah. I remember as a young boy, my grandparents lived in Somerset, Kentucky, and it was far enough back to where they just had coal stoves that would heat the house. But I used to love to go to my grandparents' house in the wintertime because something we never had at our house, they had there that I got to sleep in, was a feather bed. In the nighttime, when the coal started dwindling down, the fire started dwindling down, it would get colder and colder through the night until Grandpa would get up in the morning and he would stoke the coal and then get more heat in the house. But to make it through the night and the coldness of the night, that feather bed was awfully warm. And I used to sleep in the middle and had a couple of my brothers on one side, a couple of my brothers on the other side. There was a lot of us in there, but I'm telling you, there was nothing any warmer and nothing any more comfortable than that feather bed that I slept in. Now, I don't know if I should tell or not. My grandma got mad at me because my brothers wetted the bed and they blamed it on me. I didn't do it. I want to tell you, I didn't do it. I was in the middle and it come down on me, but I didn't do it. No, it was not me. I am still trying to convince. Well, she knows the truth now. She's in glory. Amen. That's right. My brother did that. About the comfort, though, of that feather bed. Now think about under the feathers, the warmth, the wings, the warmth that God will give you, no matter how cold and dark it is. When you're protected by God, you can have His comfort. You can hear His heartbeat. God wants us to know this. This is how every born-again believer ought to live. Protected by God, as He protects the apple of the eye, as He comforts His children under His wings. But the sad thing, and as we close this morning, way too many born-again believers don't have it, not living life that way. And you say, why not, preacher? Luke in chapter 13. Luke in chapter 13. Why? Why would you not want to be protected by God? Why would you not want to live with a peace to know that you are kept? Why would you not want to live with the comfort and the feeling, the heartbeat of God in your life? Jesus tells us why. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets? Prophets had God's message sent by God, and they killed them. They didn't want to hear the message. Killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. God will never force Himself on anyone. He'll never force Himself on a lost man to get saved. He'll never force Himself on a saved man to live like a saved man should live. But if you don't trust in God, because that was the key to the psalmist here. The key is found in verse 7 when he says, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee. A lost man has to believe in Jesus Christ, put his trust in Him, and get saved. A saved man has to constantly be putting his faith and trust in living the Christian life as God would have him to. But if you will not, you can't live with the peace of mind to know that you're protected. If by God. In closing, I want to read you one last passage of Scripture, because leaving here this morning, I want you to know this. Don't take yourself out from under God's wings. Only you can do it. See, preacher, how is it done? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Been influenced to live outside the will of God and claim grace, claim that God is going to allow them to live that way. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that means after they've been saved, they are again entangled therein and overcome by what they were under before they got saved, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. They're more accountable now than what they were before. And not only will they have to live with the consequences of their sin, if they're saved, they're going to live with the judgment, the chastisement of God upon their lives. And so their situation is now worse than what it was before they ever knew Christ. For it had been better for them in this life. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. You're not going to lose your salvation. But in order to go back and trying to live the way you lived before, not only are you going to live by the consequences of your sin, but you're going to live with the judgment and the chastisement of God, and you're not going to feel His heartbeat. And you're not going to feel His comfort. And you're not going to feel like you're protected as the eyeball is protected. The most miserable person living on this planet Earth today is not the lost man. Definitely not the saved man in the will of God. It's a saved man trying to continue to live like a lost man based on the words of God. The most miserable life you could ever live. That's why so many today are not living with the confidence and the peace and the assurance to know, protected by God. This morning, you need to live with the confidence to know, I'm protected as the apple of the eye under the wings of an almighty God. That's how God wants you to live. And I trust as you walk out of here this morning, you'll have that peace of knowing that's how I'm living. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. It begins with salvation. Outside of salvation, the Bible says you're dead in your trespasses and sins. That means you're dead to God. You are not protected by God. You're not comforted by God. You're dead to God. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you do not know beyond the shadow of a doubt that heaven would be your eternal home, if you were to die today, today's the day you need to get saved. Don't put it off any longer. Today, today, come to this altar. Let somebody take a Bible and share with you exactly what the Bible says a person must do to be saved. Not based on what this church says, not based on what this pastor says, based upon the infallible words of God. That's what you need to base your salvation on. And once you know that you're saved, live like it. Don't excuse away a lifestyle of sin. It's only going to take away peace that God wants you to have. Live like it. If you're living like a saved man, you can have the blessings of being protected by God. Father, we bow before you. We do love you, Lord, and thank you for, first of all, loving us. We thank you, Father, for meeting with us today and for speaking to each one of us through the preaching of the Word of God. And now I pray, God, that it comes to this point where only individuals can make decisions for themselves. But Father, I pray for each one. I pray for those that might be lost here today, that they would see themselves as lost and on the way to a devil's hell. And they would see Jesus Christ in His arms open wide, ready to receive them and give them a gift of everlasting life. I pray, God, that You'd help them to receive that today. And then those that are saved, God, help them to see the importance of living like a saved man, like a saved woman, to have the peace that You want them to have. God, work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.